Hey, welcome to the Taylor Marshall Show. And today we're talking about Star Wars and Christianity because it is episode 100. Welcome to episode 100 of the Taylor Marshall Show. I am so excited and pumped to be with you today, talking about one of my favorite topics, Star Wars. And maybe you've been at the donut hour after church and someone says to you, oh, we don't watch those Star Wars movies because the Force is anti-Christian. The Force is not truly God. And you know what? They're kind of right. But we're going to look at a different perspective on Star Wars and the Force and see if it's compatible with Christianity. I think you're going to be a little surprised about what we have to say. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to wherever you are in the world, and welcome back to the Taylor Marshall Show. We're talking about Star Wars. Is it Christian or anti-Christian? Is the worldview in Star Wars opposed to the worldview of the Bible, the worldview of the Catholic Church? And of course, most people immediately begin to compare the Force with God. And of course, if you do that, there's a lot of philosophical problems with that. I mean, first of all, God doesn't have a dark side. And the Force is an impersonal force. No one prays to the Force. No one seeks salvation through the Force. And so I'm going to do something a little bit different today, probably something you've never heard of before. And we're going to look at what Thomas Aquinas teaches about a certain topic and how it's related to the Force. And I think you're going to like it a lot. I'm going to save it. It's kind of a little surprise to unveil it. Before we begin today, I also want to just thank everyone who's been a part of the Taylor Marshall Show, especially you, the listeners. Y'all have made this show grow. We're going to hit 1 million downloads before too long here. We're getting really close. We're at 100 episodes, and the show continues to grow and to do well, and that's thanks to you. I'm the guy who just talks on the microphone. It's y'all that have told friends and emailed it and shared it on Facebook and really allowed this show to grow over the past year and a half. So thank you so much for investing your time. And I love coming into your living rooms, your car, your earbuds while you work out, and to talk about important topics and fun topics and tips and theology and philosophy and ethics. So thanks so much for making this show so well known in the last 12 months, especially. We're back to our format. You know, we had a little hiatus there where we did the Book of Revelation commentary, and that was hugely successful. We got a lot of new readers, a lot of new people into the show, and they're just now getting adjusted to the old format that we've been doing for so long. We'll do our Proverb of the Week. We'll do our featured segment, which is on Star Wars this week, and we'll also do our Tip of the Week and our Latin Word. I think you're going to really like our Latin Word this week. It's actually a Latin phrase that has to do with Star Wars. So make sure you listen all the way to the end and you get the Latin phrase that has to do. It's actually a famous Star Wars quote in Latin, and you'll be able to use it once you learn it. But we begin our show usually with the proverb of the week, and this week's proverb is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. It goes like this: "The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble," end quote. So the Proverbs, the source of wisdom for us, compares the way of the wicked as darkness, and those who follow the way of wickedness are stumbling. They can't walk straight. They can't walk evenly. Their footsteps are misplanted, and they fall. And, of course, in the Christian tradition, darkness and the fall, in fact, we call original sin the fall of Adam and Eve. That's when sin and death and destruction entered into the world. And of course, I chose this proverb of the week because it relates to this theme of Star Wars. As you know, there is a dark side and a light side, and we're going to talk about that today. And you might be thinking, you know, we're already almost 5 minutes into the podcast, and you may not be a Star Wars fan. And that's okay, because what we're going to talk about today, it's fun, it relates to Star Wars, but it follows, or it helps us learn, a philosophical principle in the great Catholic tradition, articulated especially by, of course, our favorite, Saint Thomas Aquinas. Now, a few years ago, I wrote an article, and the title of the article was, "Is Star Wars Christian or Anti-Christian? Should the Force be with you?" And, of course, Star Wars is the biggest thing right now as of recording this. The first part in the final trilogy, Episode 7, The Force Awakens, has hit the theaters, and I've seen it, and I really did enjoy it. In fact, I did a video review of it over at YouTube. I do a lot of YouTube videos as well. And in this review, I talked about what I liked and talked about my childhood fascination with Star Wars, but I also shared some concerns about what I thought was kind of a cliche, maybe a feminist cliche that we're seeing in these movies like Hunger Games with a Mary Sue character. A Mary Sue character is like a girl who comes on the scene and can excel and beat everyone immediately without any training or any explanation. And I thought Rey was a little bit like that, and maybe the next two movies will take away my fears or take away my doubts, but I really hope that Hollywood hasn't ruined Star Wars by making this final trilogy a tribute to how girls can do everything better than boys. Remember, Luke Skywalker took him two movies just to learn how to use the Force and stack up some rocks. And in the new film, spoiler alert, just kind of mute the radio if you haven't seen it yet. In the new film, there's a female Jedi, and she can immediately do all sorts of things. And so I'm a little bit worried that they're kind of doing a Hunger Games with the trappings of Star Wars. If you'd like to see my or listen to my full review on that, just go to YouTube. My YouTube channel is Dr. Taylor Marshall, and you can watch that whole movie review that I did on Star Wars, The Force Awakens. So with the renewed interest in Star Wars, and it's breaking all kinds of records at the box office, and everyone's into it, and young people are learning about lightsabers who have never heard of Star Wars before, and things like Ewoks are back in our stores, and droids, and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people who are Christian, Protestant, Catholic, whatever tradition, are asking themselves, is this really good for our kids? Are the concepts of Jedis, the Force, Wookiees, fantasy, all of these things that George Lucas created back in the late 70s, is this something that we want to enshrine in our culture? Do we want this to be the new Iliad and Odyssey or the Aeneid of America? And in particular, there's concern over the worldview of Star Wars. In Star Wars, there doesn't seem to be a God. However, you'll notice sometimes C-3PO refers to the creator. C-3PO is programmed to refer to the creator. And then there's the Force. And the Force isn't seen to be the creator. It's just the Force. And there's the light side of the Force. And then there's the dark side of the Force. And this concept of the Force is really the major hang-up for some Christians, even for some Catholics that I've met. You know, it basically goes like this. Christians have God. Star Wars has the Force. Okay, but the Force does not map on or map over to the biblical doctrine of God. Therefore, Star Wars teaches a false worldview, a false theology, and must be rejected as evil. Okay, so let me go over this argument again. So someone might say, look, we Christians believe in God, but the Star Wars films doesn't have God. They have the Force. The Force is not the same thing as God. Therefore, Star Wars is teaching a false theology. It needs to be rejected. Okay, so it's true. I mean, the Force is not personal. No one prays to the Force. You know, when Luke's in trouble, he doesn't drop to his knees and say, oh, Force, you know, help me, deliver me. We don't see anything like that at all. The way, you know, King David in the Psalms talked to God. There's no way that the Jedis talk to the Force in that way. And, of course, the most difficult thing about the Force is it's not all good. It's not, as we would say in Christian theology, it's not omnibenevolent. It's not all good all the time. We know from the films there is a dark side to the Force, and it is very powerful and very persuasive. And so the Force is not just for the good guys. The Force is for the bad guys as well. And apparently, it seems to almost be more powerful when the bad guys use it as opposed to when the good guys use it. So it seems that the Force is really just this impersonal source of energy, source of power. And the question remains, is there anything in the Christian tradition, is there anything in our Catholic tradition that mirrors the Force? You know, I would be the very first one to say, I mean, I'm a professional philosopher, a writer, theologian. I'd be the first one to say, no, the Force is not God. There's no way it could be God. That has to be rejected. But I'm also a fan of Star Wars. When I look at it, I see that there is something in our Catholic theological and philosophical tradition that does map on to the Force. And that one thing, and I'm going to follow Thomas Aquinas here, and I'm going to invite you to follow me along. You know, according to Thomas Aquinas and according to our Catholic tradition, humans and preternatural spirits. Now, preternatural spiritual beings are what? The angels. Angels, and when they become bad, demons. That in our Catholic tradition, humans and preternatural spiritual beings have a power, have a force that stretches beyond the faculties of all other natural things, all other natural plants, animals, species, everything. And this special faculty, this special force that is shared by angels and demons and by good men and by evil men is called in Latin intelligentsia. Intelligentsia, where we get the word intelligence. It comes from two Latin words. It's a combination. Don't worry, I got another Latin phrase for you later, but we'll do a little Latin now. Inter, which means between, and legere, which means, it usually means to read, but it also can mean to pick out, to choose. And so our intelligence is what allows us to pick or to choose between things. And primarily, as we read in the story of Adam and Eve, it is a knowledge of good and evil. Our intelligence gives us the power to follow the good, to choose and pick out the good by following God, or to reject God and to follow the path of evil. So intelligentsia, this Latin word, I'm arguing, and I think if Thomas Aquinas were around today, and I took him to the movies, and he and I were having a beer and some wings after the movie, and I know Thomas Aquinas would love beer and wings. I just know he would. We were talking about the film. Thomas, of course, would right away just reject the Force as being any kind of God. But I think he would see the Force as an extension or an analogy of his own teaching on intelligentsia, man's ability to reason. Because Thomas Aquinas says that we are made in the image of God. And the image of God is not your face or your eyes or your nose or your mouth or your ears. It's not that you walk upright. The image of God in each of us is our ability. It is our faculty of reason. It's our intelligence that sets us apart from the dogs and the cats and the dolphins and the flowers. Our intelligence is what makes us in the image of God. We have an intelligence. Angels have an intelligence. We also have a free will. Angels have a free will. God has an intelligence, and God has the ultimate free will, of course, and that's what makes us in the image of God. We're not gods ourselves, but we are in the image of God in that we have rationality, reason, and a free will. So as Thomas Aquinas and I are sitting at the pub, drinking our Guinness and eating our buffalo wings, I think we would come into an agreement. I think you can see here that the Force is really your intelligentsia, because your intelligence, your mind, your rationality has a light side and it has a dark side. You can use your intelligence to do great good, or you can use your intelligence to bring about evil. And I think what's even more Thomistic about this, and I think Thomas Aquinas would see this as well, is, you know, Thomas taught that there were 11 passions. Your passions are like your emotions. And if you remember the New St. Thomas Institute, we spend a lot of time on this in our curriculum in Catholic theology because it's so central to the teaching, well, of the Catholic Church, but especially Thomas Aquinas, that we have our intelligence, our rationality, and then we have these 11 passions, these 11 emotions like fear, anger, joy. And because of original sin, these passions interfere with our rational intelligence. So we have these passions, and they're out of order. They are no longer obedient to our reason. And this is why we eat way too much ice cream, or we scream at other drivers on the highway, or we cry over silly things that aren't important. Those are our emotions, our passions, that are getting the better of our intellect because of original sin. And we call this disordered realm of our passions in theology, it's called concupiscence. Concupiscence is one of the consequences of original sin. It's what makes our passions all out of whack. And we see this exact same thing happening in the Star Wars films, because I think one of the things that makes Star Wars so popular and resonates with so many people is, whether they know it or not, they can see that the Force is rational, it is good, but the passions can cause us to use the Force in a bad way. And that's exactly what you see with the Emperor and Darth Vader and all the villains in the Star Wars sagas, is their anger, their fear, their passions are causing them to use the Force, or we would say, using this analogy, using their intelligence for evil. Remember, the Force, as we learn in the movies, it's throughout the whole universe, right? It flows through all things. And humans are able to participate in this intelligence, all right? Again, this is our participation in the rationality of God that He granted us at creation. God granted us a participation in rationalities. We, like the animals, have animal features. We have intestines. We have nostrils. You know, we have hair, like a dog. We have lungs and blood and a heart. And, you know, if you ever dissect an animal, you realize that although they're, you know, different in many ways, the bone structure and the way the heart works and the veins and all that stuff is very similar to us. What makes us different, though, is that we have rationality. There aren't any cats or squirrels out there building skyscrapers, composing symphonies, praying, thinking about the future, planning out economic strategies. All of these things pertain to the realm of the human persons because we have rationality like God. Our rationality is not as great as God's. Of course, He's infinite. We're finite. And our rationality is not as great as the angels or even the demons. But when we look at the human sphere, we see that there are humans using their reason to help and to do good. And there are humans using their reason to cheat people, to swindle people, to hurt people, to rob people, even to murder people. We even see this on the angelic level. There are angels who use their reason, their intelligence, to bless creation, to help humans, to bring glory and praise to God. And there are also angels that we call demons. These dark angels have rejected the light. They have rejected God, but they still have the divine gift of their reason, and they use their reason to trick us, to damn us, for us to hurt other people, and ultimately to curse and reject God, which is what they do. Notice here that intelligence is, in a sense, I mean, it's a good, God created a good, but it can be corrupted, and there is a dark side to intelligence. God, because He gave us a free will, allowed our intelligence, allowed it to have the ability to be corrupted, to be darkened, to go over to the dark side. And it's interesting when you watch the films, if you watch Star Wars, how do the Sith Lords, you know, the Emperor Palpatine or Darth Vader, how do they manipulate other people with the Force? They do it through the passions. This is where we have this great intersection with Thomism. You know, the Emperor or Darth Vader are constantly trying to get the characters to be manipulated through passionate anger, passionate rage, covetousness, even lust, right? Anakin, you know, he lost control of the Force. He went to the dark side because of his lust, because of his anger, because of his rage. It was all working together. The same thing happens with us. Without the gift of God's grace, the passions can cause us to use our intelligence as a force for great evil. The only way to have the empire strike back, to use that phrase, is for us to rule over our passions, to govern our emotions through right reason and through prudential thinking. And this is why in the Catholic tradition, the four cardinal virtues are prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Prudence is always seen as the most important and as the leader of the four cardinal virtues, because prudence is the ability to make wise, specific decisions, not influenced by our uncontrolled or unbridled passions or emotions. In order to show this a little bit, I want to throw in a clip here. It's an audio clip from Return of the Jedi. You'll remember it. It's that scene where at the end, Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker are fighting each other, and the Emperor is sitting by watching it, just laughing it up, because he knows that in the fight, Luke is starting to feel the tug to the dark side. Why? Because Luke is giving himself over to the passion, the emotion of rage or anger. So let's take a listen to that real quick. So you can hear the Emperor laughing it up in the background. Luke and Darth are fighting.
Good. Use your aggressive feelings, boy. Let the heat flow through you.
Okay, so you can hear the voice of the Emperor. He's wanting Luke to lose his grasp on his intelligence through his rage and through his anger. And Luke, I think, suddenly realizes that, so he decides to take a little bit of a chill out. But, of course, Vader's not going to let him.
You cannot hide forever, Luke.
I will not fight you.
Give yourself to the dark side. It is the only way you can save your friends. Yes, your thoughts betray you.
Notice here how the thoughts are betraying him. I think this again parallels this analogy we've been making, that the Force really is an allegory for our intelligence, for our rationality as in the image of God. And therefore, it's the thoughts of Luke as they start to drip over to the dark side that Darth Vader seeks to take advantage of. And now we'll see him take advantage of Luke's emotion or passion of fear. Here it is.
Your feelings for them are strong, especially for sister. So you have a twin sister. Your feelings have now betrayed her too. Obi-Wan was wise to hide her from me. Now his failure is complete. If you will not turn to the dark side, then perhaps she will.
All right, so here Luke Skywalker goes all apey, fighting hard, losing his cool. His emotions, his passions are overcoming him. He's slipping to the dark side, and Darth and the Emperor know it. In case you can't remember, Luke's really just beating the living you-know-what out of Vader right now. And he cuts off his hand. That crying scream of Darth Vader is so funny, I think.
Good.
Emperor laughing it up.
Your hate has made you powerful. Now fulfill your destiny and take your father's place at my side.
Never.
Luke takes another chill.
I'll never turn to the dark side.
A resolution of will.
You failed, Your Highness. I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
This is very Pauline. St. Paul often tells the Christians of the first century, in order to battle sin, you must reaffirm your identity as a Christian, as in Christ, as a baptized person. When we make that resolution and redefine who we are in Christ, we can overcome sin. So that's exactly what Luke's doing here.
So be it, Jedi. If you will not be turned, you will be destroyed. Young fool, only now, at the end, do you understand?
Then the Emperor just begins to torch Luke with electricity and torment him. And then, of course, Darth Vader picks up the Emperor, throws him down the pit, and saves his son, thereby redeeming himself and, in a sense, freeing himself, saving himself from the power of the dark side. He finally realigns his intellect against his passion and in conformity with love of his own son.
Luke, help me take this mask off.
But you'll die.
Nothing can stop that now. Just for once, let me look on you with my own eyes.
Leave you here. I've got to save you.
You already have, Luke. You were right. You were right about me. Tell your sister. You were right.
Wow, there's a lot of good things to touch on there. We could probably spend a couple hours on that final scene right there. But I think that scene especially shows what is the nature of the Force. Is the Force God? No, of course the Force is not God. The Force is something that these great men, great women, these Jedi, are able to tap into. And they're able to transform the world. And you might think, well, if we have reason, if we have the intellect, you know, we can't make X-Wings come out of a swamp. We can't, you know, stack rocks or fly fighter planes. And I would say, yeah, actually we can. Our human intelligence, what we have, is able to cause ships to go to the moon. And we're able to cure diseases and extend life. And we're able to use our intellect to create weapons of mass destruction and kill each other. And we're also able to use our intellect to create medicines and save thousands, if not millions, of people. So the intellect that we have, our likeness and image in God, is a powerful force. You might even say a capital F force that God has given us. And I think this is really the key to understanding or presenting Star Wars to your children. This is the way, you know, I don't want to get all philosophical with my kids. Sometimes we're just having fun, but it is a great meditation to talk about what is the Force and how does it relate to the passions of the character, because that maps on basically in a perfect way with our own lives. And I think we can add to that as Christians and say, you know, it's the life of grace that elevates and strengthens our virtues, as Thomas Aquinas says, grace perfects nature, and allows us to use the light side of the force, that is, to use our intellect for good. And we can even use our intellect for good, as Luke was doing there. He's taking a little chill, right? He's trying to get his passions back under control. He's constantly doing that. That's a great example to all of us. You know, when we're overcome with lust, to run away. When we're overcome with anger, to find a moment of peace, of solitude, of quiet, so we don't do something or say something that will get us into trouble both then or later on. So there's a lot of good stuff here. And so I would encourage you, you know, next time you're at the donut hour and some well-meaning Christian says, well, we don't watch Star Wars because its worldview is anti-Christian because the Force isn't God and the Force has a dark side, whatever, say, well, hold on a second. Maybe the Force isn't God, but maybe the Force is something that we can understand and we can learn from. So there you go. A take on Star Wars. Is it Christian or anti-Christian? I would say that the worldview, of course, is not specifically Christian, but it's a myth. It's a sci-fi myth. And I think that we can learn from it. And I think there are applications that we could make to our own lives in an orthodox, philosophical, and theological manner if we just use our imagination a little bit, which I think is the whole purpose of fiction and literature in the first place, right? Well, speaking of literature and myth and legend and all that, I have a few announcements before we get into our tip of the week and our Latin word of the week. So for our announcements, I have some good news. Many of you were very supportive and have read my first novel, Sword and Serpent. It did become a number one bestseller in two genres on Amazon.com, and I thank everyone who purchased a copy and read a copy and left a review. And it continues to do well. It went back to number one about a month ago, and I was really happy to see that before Christmas. But the sequel, if you've read the book, you know that there's an ending, and I can't talk about it, no spoiler alert here, but the ending is, well, I won't say anything, but there is a sequel coming. Sword and Serpent 2 will be released and published in 2016. And if you'd like to learn more about that, please go over to swordandserpent.com, swordandserpent.com. And you can download the study guide for the first book. And also, when you download the study guide, you can put your email address in if you'd like to get updates on the new sequel to Sword and Serpent. By the way, Sword and Serpent is a historical fiction novel that I wrote retelling the lives of St. George, St. Christopher, St. Nicholas, and a bunch of other early saints around the time of St. Constantine. If you like historical fiction, please do go to swordandserpent.com. and download the study guide. And you'll also be able to sign up for an email list. And like last time, I'll do a launch group. So if you'd like to be able to get a early manuscript version to read it before it becomes live and to have your name written in the acknowledgments thanking you for looking at it before we go live and public with it, please do go to swordandserpent.com and sign up and leave your email address there. You'll be getting updates as we get closer to the publication date. Also in 2016, I'm really excited about this. We are launching at the New St. Thomas Institute a plan for high school and college students called New St. Thomas Institute Life Prep. Life Prep. And Life Prep is designed for young people because, you know, the stats are 50% of Catholics leave the Catholic Church between the ages of 18 and 25, and they never come back. It's that college period that we lose our college kids from the Catholic faith. And so we wanted to put together resources, audio, classes to help students keep their Catholic faith in high school and in college, to provide them intellectual, philosophical, theological resources and guidelines and lessons to help them know their faith. And as we polled parents and talked to young people about New St. Thomas Institute Life Prep, we learned that the number one, and this surprised me, the number one concern is how to understand human sexuality and how to avoid sexual sins during this time period. Our teenage years, our college years are a great time of testing with all these new hormones and all these new freedoms. And many young people in our post-Christian era are falling into sexual temptation and sexual sins. And that's the leading cause for young people leaving their Catholic faith, leaving Christ behind out of their life. And so we're also going to have a lot of resources that are relevant and helpful for young people in the realm of sexuality. I know that young people don't always want to talk to their parents about that. And parents sometimes don't want to talk to their young people. So this will be a way for you to get these resources and to get these teachings that are in line with Scripture and the church fathers and the magisterium of the Catholic Church regarding not just sexual immorality, but also what do you say when your professor in college says this about Marxism or this about atheism or this about abortion or this about homosexuality? What do you say? What resources can you have in order to make a solid, responsible response? So that's New St. Thomas Institute Life Prep. We will beta test it in the spring, hopefully, of 2016. We'll probably make it available first to the current members of the New St. Thomas Institute. So if you're interested in that, please go to New St. Thomas Institute and either get on our waiting list or sign up. Currently, we have the spring enrollment for the New St. Thomas Institute. The New St. Thomas Institute, for those of you that are new, is an online institute where you can take Catholic classes in philosophy, Catholic classes in theology, Catholic classes in apologetics, and for 2016, Catholic classes in Catholic Church history. And we have over almost 2,500 members, I think, right now, and it continues to grow and be successful. We're the largest Catholic institute of Catholic education on earth, and it's wonderful, and it's extremely affordable. Our tuition is extremely low, so I'd encourage you to go to newstthomas.com and sign up. We will close enrollment on January 28th, the Feast of St. Thomas Aquinas, and we'll have a big celebration to kick off the spring semester. So if you'd like to join and start taking classes with us, go to newstthomas.com, and if you sign up, you'll also be hearing more about New St. Thomas Institute Life Prep for young people as that comes online in the spring, God willing, of 2016. Okay, our tip of the week is related to making goals. And many of you were in my webinar that I did last week on how to make Catholic goals and Catholic resolutions for a new year, because we're at a new year. And we'll put the link, if you want to watch the replay to that webinar that I did online, that link will be there. You can watch the replay. But for today, just a simple short tip that you can put into your life that will change the next year for you is to make a list of goals in your life. And we talked about, you know, reading scripture every day, doing mental prayer every day, getting to confession regularly, whether it be every week, every 2 weeks, preferably not more than once a month. We talked about all of these and we gave you a checklist of things that you can do for the new year to really take your faith to the next level. But one thing that I failed to mention in the webinar, and this is the tip of this week, is write it down on a list, put it somewhere where you'll see it. If it's by the toilet, put it by the toilet. If it's by your mirror, put it by your mirror. If it's on your nightstand, put it on your nightstand. Maybe in your Bible if you're reading the Bible every day. Make a list of your spiritual goals and even your non-spiritual goals. How much weight you want to lose, working out, time spent with your children. Make that whole list. And on the first day of every month for the next 12 months, go back and review that list and give yourself a grade. Am I an A plus? Am I an A, A minus? Am I an F? How am I doing on my resolutions? And what can I do for the next 30 days to be more successful? If you just do a 30-day review with that piece of paper every single month, maybe set a timer or a reminder on your phone every first day of the month, a little banner comes up and says, review your list now, and actually review it. 2016 will be more productive. It'll be more spiritual. You'll draw closer to Christ through his church and through the sacraments, and it will be more peaceful and more joyful. So tip of the week, make that list, check it. I check my list about almost every day, but at least once a month, give yourself a grade and then re-strategize. Okay. Latin word of the week. And before we do that, I just want to thank everyone who has rated this podcast. Oh, I need to give a shout out. Shout out to everyone who's rated the podcast in the last week. We have over 444 reviews. Thank you so much for everyone who's gone into iTunes and left a review. The reason I ask you guys to do reviews is it helps people find this podcast. That's been the number one thing that y'all have done in the past year. Here we are in episode 100. The way this podcast grows is you go into iTunes and you leave a review. And the more reviews they are, the more iTunes and their algorithm promotes this podcast within iTunes. So if someone goes into iTunes and says, I'm looking for a Catholic podcast, this one will come up and they start listening to it. So I want to thank those of you in the last week since the last episode who have rated this podcast. Tone Fee. Thank you very much, Tone Fee. Cyrus the Fifth. Thank you so much. Carmen Anna. Thank you so much. I'm going to give Carmen Anna the review of the week. Carmen writes this: Dr. Taylor Marshall is amazing in his approach and very knowledgeable in the scriptures, the church, its history, and world religions. His candid and informal style makes deep topics easy to understand and entertaining. His love for Jesus Christ and his church shines through his podcast. If you have time, listen to his Revelation podcast series. Please do. This was a total mind blow since my eschatology, that's the study of the end times, since my eschatology was badly infused with modern day rapture and false fundamentalist beliefs, clouding my intellect. Subscribe and enjoy his weekly show. God bless you all. So thank you so much, Carmen. That's very kind of you. And if you haven't listened to the Revelation series, I would really encourage you to do it. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of great information, and extremely popular last year. So you can go to taylormarshall.com and click on weekly podcast, or you can go to iTunes and subscribe there. Also, a shout out goes to Mary Immaculate. Thank you for your 5-star review. And also Maury left a 5-star review, and I really liked your review too, Maury. So thank you so much. And if you'd like to leave a review, I will give your name out on the next show. Just go to taylormarshall.com/shoutout. Shout out is one word. taylormarshall.com/shoutout, and it'll give you simple instructions to leave a rating. It only takes about 30 to 40 seconds. So if you wouldn't mind doing that right now, I would really, really appreciate it. And we will, oh, also, if you're new to the podcast, if you go to taylormarshall.com, I'll give you a free book. Thomas Aquinas in 50 Pages is the current book. You can download it there, taylormarshall.com, in the right side of the webpage there. Okay, Latin word of the week before we close up. The Latin word, it's actually a phrase. It's may the force be with you in Latin. And by force here, I don't mean some impersonal mumbo jumbo or Manichaean or Zoroastrian force. I mean your intellect. May you live a life that is prudential and wise and reflected upon. So if you want to say may the force be with you in Latin, it's pretty easy. It's sit vis vobiscum. Sit vis vobiscum. Sit means may or let it be. This means the force, power. And vobiscum means and with you. That's plural, with y'all. Just says in Mass we hear Dominus vobiscum. It means the Lord be with you. You could say vis vobiscum, or to say the whole thing, if you want to add the word may, which could be implied or not, you put sit. So sit vis vobiscum. May the force be with you. And of course, in Latin, there is no word for the, so that's omitted. So sit vis vobiscum. May the force be with you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for leaving a review. I really appreciate that. Again, you can leave a review at taylormarshall.com/shoutout. And until next time, remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty.
This podcast was brought to you by the New St. Thomas Institute. Discover online Catholic classes and earn your certificate in Catholic theology at the new St. Thomas Institute. To register for online Catholic classes, please visit newstthomas.com. That's newstthomas.com.